Hello, you're very welcome to If I Were the Minister for Education from Chat.net. Special episode. Midterm break? What midterm break? Hello, you're very welcome to this special episode of If I Were the Minister for Education. This is Simon Lewis. October 23rd. That's a fairly insignificant date in anyone's book. But to principals and school leaders this year, 2020, it was the most important date in the calendar, because once it was done, it was to signal midterm break 2020. And for most of them, including myself, it was to be our first day off work since mid-February. And at that time, and I don't know if I can bring you back maybe 7-8 months, it was a time where there was some mutterings about some virus that had come from Wuhan in China and seemed to be causing problems for some Irish teenagers who were on their transition year trip in Italy, skiing, as you do, far from skiing trips I was raised, but nonetheless one of the rites of passages that comes these days thanks to probably the Celtic Tiger bestowed upon our nation at some point, probably along with bum tattoos after the Leaving Cert. But nonetheless, this virus reached Ireland and all of our school buildings closed down shortly after. And for the next 5.5 months, most principals didn't stop. They were sometimes working 16, 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially during the summer in July and August. And teachers, SNAs, secretaries, cleaners, caretakers, and everyone else working in schools gave up their summers, all of us building the plane as we tried to fly it, as someone put it, with new ways of doing absolutely everything. Coping with unsafe conditions, managing the constant faffing about with constant changes via the Department of Education circulars, mainly produced and released on a Friday evening, and then the endless tirade of teacher bashing because we dared to say that given that we're now frontline workers, we wanted to be treated like frontline workers. And despite never once saying that schools should be closed, certain commentators were throwing us on the PUP pavement to see how we liked it. And then, the night before midterm break, at 10:30 p.m., the Department of Education realised they had allowed a sanitiser with methanol, a poisonous substance, if you will, onto their procurement list, and that's where we start our midterm break. As you'd probably expect from listening to my podcast, I'm a bit of a night owl. I tend to record these podcasts well into the late hours of the evening. You'll probably hear me yawning because I stay up pretty late most of the time, and I get up pretty early too. I'm a night owl and an early bird, especially in the last 6 months with the increase in my workload with my job as a principal. But in general, I tend to stay up quite late. But last week I had a plan, a grand plan, and that was that I was going to switch off completely for midterm break. And as soon as 2:30 p.m. was going to hit the clock on Friday, the 23rd of October, I was going to turn on the out-of-office email and collapse in no uncertain terms. I suppose the night before the Friday, I decided to have an early-ish night for me on that Thursday. And just before I was going to bed, 11 o'clock, I was just taking a last check on the social media when I read a tweet from the Department of Education. It was a recall on hand sanitizer. Apparently one of the products that was being used in schools contained methanol rather than ethanol, and schools are being asked to get rid of it and replace it. Now, I'll be honest, I wasn't one of the principals that hopped in my car at 11 p.m. to go to the school to check I didn't have the product, though I did read of quite a few principals that did do that. However, I thought the best course of action for me was to wait until the next morning at 6 o'clock when my caretaker starts his job and send him a message just to check what was going on. So I set my alarm a little bit earlier, you know, about 5:50. And just after six, I sent him a quick WhatsApp to check. Now, like the government's entire plan for reopening schools, you could have summed up the next few minutes in my life. And my entire plan, I guess, for what was going to happen in the same way. I had my fingers crossed. And to be perfectly honest, had he have come back with bad news, my only plan was to basically get up, raid Woody's or Aldi or anywhere with hand sanitizer and buy a load of it and just get into school. And the Department of Education did give permission for schools to close for the day if they felt they couldn't replace the sanitizer. And then some did, for example, Anne Looney, who some of you may recognize as the dean of the college that used to be secular. That's DCU. They're not secular anymore because they have... I don't know if people know this, and I always take the opportunity when I mention DCU to mention this, that if you are studying to be a teacher in DCU, if you are from a Protestant or Church of Ireland base, you get to go to DCU with lower points to become a teacher. So therefore, they're advantaging one particular faith over another. But anyway, that is not part of this episode. But every time I mention DCU, I promised myself that I would say this. But anyway, Anne Looney is also the chairperson of a primary school. And that primary school closed down for the day. Now, when I saw this in the newspaper the next day, I was going to imagine your chairperson being the head of education of a teacher training college. Now, that's some pressure for a principal. But to be honest, like many others, I had the same feeling that if we did get the bad news that we had this methanol poisonous sanitizer, if the Department of Education, you know, that I wasn't going to close the school. I you know, it's kind of was... And maybe this is just me. In fact, I know it wasn't just me. I'd heard a few other principals saying the same thing. It was probably the only time children were going to be able to celebrate, I suppose, Halloween in a way with other children, because they weren't going to be allowed to go out trick-or-treating and all that kind of stuff with COVID-19. And to kind of lose their dress-up day, the only possibly normal thing they might do, I just don't know if I could have done it. But the other feeling I had was, the Department of Education were letting us close the entire school down because an easily replaceable hand sanitizer had to be recalled. But if there was a positive case of COVID-19 in a class, we couldn't even close the class down. But anyway, we've become so almost immune to the catalogue of mishaps and untruths about schools being safe. None of us really would have guessed that the hand sanitizer cock-ups would actually bookend midterm break 2020. And in one principal's case, and this is where our story begins, his midterm break consisted of a major outbreak of COVID-19 in his school. And in this episode, I'll be telling the story of midterm break 2020, the break where schools were never out of the news. Now, it all started off with a scheduled tweeted message from the INTO. The INTO's social media is unbelievable. For those of you who know a thing or two about social media, and I'm not claiming I do, but there's a function that you can do if you run a social media account where you can schedule a load of posts on the internet onto your Twitter feed or on your Facebook page, so that you don't have to be doing it in the one go. So, you know, you can set up all your posts for the month and they'll post at the times that you say they'll post. And the rule of thumb for anyone who's involved in social media is 80% of your posts on Twitter or on social media in general are considered, it's recommended that they're fluff, for want of a better word. So just informational stuff, do a crossword in the INTO's case, or here's a course that we're running, or look after your well-being by, taking a breath, or, just kind of stuff that is informational or not that important. And ultimately they've been doing this for months, and it's just with COVID-19, it's just totally inappropriate, and the reason it's totally inappropriate is something terrible can happen. And if your next social media message is, why not take a break and do the INTO crossword, which has happened a few times, it's not a good look. And the scheduled tweeted message that went up on the Friday was from the INTO president, wishing their members a well-earned midterm break and explaining that they would do their utmost to ensure the government puts appropriate protective measures in place for the forthcoming week. Now, I hate to do this, but here's your spoiler alert. They didn't ensure that the government put appropriate protective measures for the forthcoming week. However, and another spoiler alert, as usual, they actually think they did. But anyway, more of that later. Naturally, anyway, this scheduled tweet didn't go down very well with their followers, who asked them naturally to read the room. But also, it didn't sit well with principals. It didn't even include principals, because we are still expected to be on 24-hour call 7 days a week from the HSE if there's an outbreak in the school. And in fact, 14 principals in Ireland spent their first day off, in inverted commas, contact tracing for the HSE as outbreaks occurred in their schools. And speaking of contact tracing, I want to bring you back just a couple of days before midterm break. I don't want to get into midterm break yet. I don't want to ease you into that. Just to tell you a story about the principal I referred to and his midterm break. This principal is a real principal, and I know I've done a story, a podcast episode of another principal who wants to remain anonymous, a genuine principal, and I know how skeptical people are when people don't want to be named. This guy was very tempted to go public with his story. However, given the extent of the outbreak in his school and the size of the community, he really didn't want to cause any further upset in his community by identifying people, because it's a small area and people would be identified if he told his story. So let us start his story on Wednesday, the 21st of October, 2 days before midterm break. And the story starts with two teachers in a situation that will probably be familiar to many teachers and school leaders. We'll call them Teacher 1 and Teacher 2. They work in the same classroom for most of the school day, because despite the various reports out there that, you know, bubble with bubbles and pods and blah, 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 schools have run the way they have to run. And it's not unusual for there to be two adults working in the same classroom. And on that Wednesday evening anyway, Teacher 1 rang the principal to inform him that she had been a close contact of a COVID-19 case. Now, this meant that she had to isolate in line with COVID-19 regulations. And as this would be very familiar to most principals or school leaders, he finally managed to get a substitute teacher after 12 phone calls to stand in for the teacher for the Thursday and the Friday to finish off term. And like all of us, he expected to sit back and enjoy his first days off for months on Friday. However, less than 24 hours after he closed the door of his school, on Saturday, the 24th of October, Teacher 1 received confirmation that she had tested positive for COVID-19. And as it was midterm break, the principal, Teacher 1, and the members of their board of management decided that they would inform parents that there was a case in the school from this particular class. And the text, he sent me the text, and it read as follows. For your information, Teacher 1 has tested positive for COVID-19. She was informed on Wednesday that she was a close contact of a positive case, and she remained out of school on Thursday the 22nd and Friday the 23rd of October. She's in good form. I'm not trying to escalate or de-escalate the matter. I am currently waiting a call back from the HSE. As of now, I'm not aware of any pupils in our school having a positive result. If or when the HSE do get in contact with me, I will advise further on what they have said. Kind regards, Principal. So far, so good. And relax. Until 11:54 that day, the principal received a call from the parent. And we'll call that parent Parent 1. And her child, who we'll call Pupil 1, had also tested positive for COVID-19. Parent 1 was also positive as well. Pupil 1 had also been kept out of school on Thursday and Friday, as Pupil 1 was also a close contact of the parent, who was the child wasn't in school. The parent got symptoms on the Wednesday, and this is why. Now, the possibility was explored that the close contact between Parent 1 and then maybe the close contact of Teacher 1 were different people, or maybe they were the same person, but it happened outside of school. And that it would be a community transmission, let's say, rather than a school one. And that was definitely possible. It's a small area, but still possible. The principal didn't actually receive a call from the HSE that day. Obviously, he'd been expecting a call, given the circumstances, and given the fact that a child in the school had tested positive. And naturally, the principal was concerned that the pupils from Teacher 1's classroom may have been close contacts. They may even have had COVID-19 transmission to them without even knowing, and there may have been a possibility of them transmitting COVID-19 to vulnerable members of their own families. Alas, though, he was to go to bed without a phone call from the HSE. And that was his first day of his midterm break on Saturday. So we move to Sunday, the 25th of October, as I was at home celebrating my wedding anniversary as a matter of interest, or not interest really. But at 7:16 a.m., this man must not have had any sleep. The principal sent an email to the COVID hotline at education.gov.ie. So COVID-19_alert@education.gov.ie, just for those of you who need to use it to seek information. Now, I imagine he hadn't got much sleep, as I said, but 8 hours later, the Department of Education and Skills phoned the principal and explained that Teacher One would be contact traced back 48 hours from when she first displayed symptoms of COVID-19. And the principal explained to the Department of Education member on the phone that he had received the following text from a concerned parent. I phoned the HSE today, I was advised for kids to restrict their movements for 10 to 14 days. And if the HSE consider the kids a close contact, they will contact us directly. The Department of Education didn't fully agree that any children would or should be considered close contacts and stated that the HSE guidelines only contact trace back 48 hours from the first sign of symptoms. And funnily enough, and this is what I don't really understand this myself, if that teacher had been asymptomatic, so weren't displaying symptoms, she would have been contact traced back for 24 hours. And the principal said that he was confused by this too. And as I'm reading it, I'm also a little bit confused by why that would matter, but matter it did to the Department of Education. Meanwhile, the media were speaking to principals around the country about the debacle of contact tracing. They'd gotten over the debacle of the hand sanitizer, but really the story was breaking. The contact tracing just didn't seem right. It had turned out as well that the HSE couldn't cope with the amount of calls they had been receiving from schools, and they seemed to be really making things up as they were going along and really trying their best to, I don't know, manage the situation. They just were overwhelmed and weren't able to deal with what they were getting. And this meant that they're clearly making mistakes, I would imagine. But worst of all, but maybe at best, it was very difficult to trust what they were doing because they were so overwhelmed and therefore were probably, you know, not asking the right questions or enough questions. The reality seemed to dawn on everyone that the HSE's definition of a close contact in school was completely different to the HSE's definition of outside of school, and none of it made any sense. The INTO were just getting into their, the INTO to me were just getting in the way. They were puffing out statements that basically had no backbone. I mean, the INTO do this a lot. If anyone's listened to the INTO before, particularly when during Congress, you'll see all the INTO leaders up there on their podiums giving out and roaring and shouting about things, and then they don't do anything about it. And this was the same, you know, oh, we'll make sure the government do this, this and this. But you know, you knew full well nothing was going to happen. So anyway, the media turned to the only group that were actually talking about their experiences on the ground. And you'd think they would have gone to a representative body of principals, but they went to a lobby group called the National Principals Forum. The National Principals Forum, as many of you know, are a group I'm involved in. They are a lobby group, with the admin team, all volunteers, all basically practicing principals. Who speak about experience of principals, trying to engage with the stakeholders to try and represent the views of principals on the ground. And on Sunday evening, Angela Dunn and Seamus O'Connor, both involved in the National Principals Forum admin team, shared their experience about life on the ground and how they were appalled by the HSE's definition of close contacts. It was a really good piece, and it was televised on TV3's 5:30 News. And if anyone is wants to look back at them, at what they said, it's well worth a listen. My favourite quote was from Angela Dunn, actually, who said, you know, about the contact tracing, it's and the debacle around it. Do you know, she was talking about pods and how ridiculous they were, because children are sharing the same toilets, the same bathrooms and the same air in the classroom, and yet they're not considered close contacts. But anyway, back to our friend on his first weekend off, in inverted commas. Later on that Sunday, a doctor from the HSE phoned the principal to carry out the risk assessment because of the case of Teacher One having COVID-19. The HSE doctor asked him questions, and the principal shared with me the details of that conversation. He explained to me that he had told the doctor that teacher one and the SNA in the classroom wore masks daily. He said that windows are open in the classroom daily for the duration of the school day. He said that teacher one sat behind a Perspex screen on her desk for some parts of the day. Bubbles were separated on playgrounds. Bubbles were staggered coming in and out of the school. 1 meter distancing was adhered to as much as possible in the classroom setting, and pupils were in one bubble. He said the pods weren't possible in his school because there wasn't room to create a 1 meter distance between pods because their approximate floor space was half, almost half of what wouldn't be needed to be able to do that. He also said the pupils shared the same toilets, but only from their own bubble. But despite all this information, the letter from the HSE regarding the positive case in the school was published to the school community to read, and it stated, according to HSE guidelines, no further contact tracing is required. There you go. The media was also gathering pace on Sunday evening as well, and newspapers were gearing up with articles from many, many principals around the country who all had the same message. There was absolutely no trust in contact tracing in schools. I personally did a couple of interviews with various journalists, and it was clear that nobody really believed the HSE were doing contact tracing correctly, and they were effectively putting people's lives at risk. Emma O'Kelly from RTE wrote an excellent article on how schools limped to midterm break and how worried school leaders were for after midterm break. And again, I think what principals did really well was, and not they did this deliberately, but principals unanimously, as far as I could see, had the same message that we want to keep schools open, but we need to keep them safe. And Seamus O'Connor, also from the National Principals Forum, and a principal who had cases in his school, summed things up best for me in an article in the Irish Examiner. And he said the following, I thought it really summed things up. And he said, when the medical field was the last line of defence earlier in the year, and they did a tremendous job, the doors swung open for them, and rightly so. And the same now needs to be done for education. And it's true. We are frontline workers now. We are the last line of defence for, let's say, the economy. We are, at our cruelest, we can describe ourselves as a national babysitting service. But once children are not in school, people can't really work properly. And we are the last line of defence there. So we should, like the nurses, like the doctors, the doors need to swing open for us and give us what we need. The HSE did respond to this gathering media with a very unconvincing statement that they were considering a revamped contact tracing regime when we were to reopen after midterm, according to the Irish Times. We'll move to Bank Holiday Monday. A bank holiday, by the way, the 26th of October, and our principal friend had to send out another email to the HSE about the pupil. He spoke to a different doctor about this pupil's positive case, which was confirmed on the 24th of October, if you remember. And in line with the rules, as pupil 1 was asymptomatic, contact tracing would go back 24 hours. And as pupil 1 was not in school on the Thursday or Friday, no close contacts would be established. And the positive test result was on the 25th of October, the Sunday. So again, the letter had to go out from with the HSE heading that a public health risk assessment has been undertaken and no close contacts have been identified within the school. And then it went on in the usual manner about what to do if you feel of any symptoms. But ultimately it was, you know, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. And the letter was published for the school community to read. Now I want to take a short pause in this story to recognise one positive story from Bank Holiday Monday, 26th of October. And that was a victory for Forsa. Now, this has nothing to do with COVID-19, but basically the victory that Forsa had was they paved the way for school secretaries to have their pay and conditions regularised for the first time. For those of you who don't know, secretaries have been treated terribly by the Department of Education. Schools are given a grant of sorts, which doesn't cover very much, and secretaries basically are paid from this grant. However, the problem is their contract doesn't allow for things like sick pay, pensions. They even have to sign on during school holidays. And they're one of the only jobs in the school system. I mean, along with caretakers and a couple of other positions, where they do not have proper paying conditions from the Department of Education. And well done to FORSA. They have managed to pave the way for that to happen. And a huge kudos has to go to Andy Pike and all the secretaries in the country who have been campaigning for well over a decade on this. Now, I don't do commercial breaks in this podcast, but what a great advertisement for a union. Somehow, a load of people, to be honest with you, I mean, after all the work of the union, this was all FORSA. This was all secretaries. They did everything for this to happen. But somehow, a load of people deemed it appropriate to congratulate Norma Foley, the Minister of Education, for this breakthrough. I mean, nearly every Fianna Fáil politician was on Twitter congratulating her, and then their social media people were going mad designing these things on Canva or something, saying that this was yet another achievement for Fianna Fáil in government. Seriously, I don't know. I don't understand politics, as I said. On Twitter, I mean, she did nothing. Norma Foley had nothing to do with this. In fact, a couple of weeks before this, she was actually defending the policy of not regularising their pay, and then doing absolutely nothing except, she didn't do anything at all. But when FORSA threatened strike action and were about to go on strike, then they went back to the WRC and this came out. I don't think it's anything to do with Norma Foley. Anyway, back to the show. And we're on to Tuesday, the 27th. So I suppose the day after the bank holiday, it's midterm break. And this principal was informed of a new pupil called a pupil 2 from the same classroom. And this child had tested positive for an asymptomatic case of COVID-19. So on the Wednesday, the principal was back on the phone with the HSE doctor. And the principal was informed that pupil 2 most probably was transmitted with COVID-19 from the community, not school, and no contact tracing would take place. Pupil 2 was also asymptomatic, as I said, and the school published the following message to the school community. I spoke with a doctor from the HSE this morning. Asymptomatic cases of COVID-19 are contact traced 24 hours previously. Symptomatic or some symptoms cases are contact traced back 48 hours previously. Any child with a positive case this week got it in the community, not school, according to the HSE. Now, naturally, getting a message like that, parents were getting very concerned, and many of them actually contacted their own GPs. And their own GPs decided that children should be tested, contrary to the advice given to the school by the HSE. Interesting. Meanwhile, the media were still talking to principals about contact tracing and NFET and the HSE, and they and the NFET were still digging in their heels saying there's only been 110 cases linked to schools. Nobody was believing it, and it was actually seemed to be working in the favour of a Facebook group that had been collating cases in schools since September. This Facebook group called, I've probably got the name a little bit wrong, Alerting Parents to Outbreaks of COVID-19 in Schools, have been publishing official cases of COVID-19. And what they've been doing was they published any case where there was an official HSE letter or a message from a school principal about a case of COVID-19 in the school. Anyway, they published several hundred, not 110 cases. Anyway, long story short, they're well over 110 cases. And the most important thing we need in these times is honesty and transparency. And I absolutely understand, and I'm not saying I have any sympathy with it, and I understand there is a bit of a trend in politics to spin everything, just to make things not sound so bad or look so bad. I mean, you see it all the time in politics. I mean, you know, and geez, as I'm recording this, we're in the middle of the American election and presidential election, and truth does not matter anymore at all. And, you know, just because someone like Donald Trump, he doesn't even have to bother spinning and just doesn't even bother telling the truth, according to people who analyse what he says. In Ireland, we're not, this happens in politics all the time in Ireland, where things are spun to sound good. And we've talked about this in this podcast a number of times. However, I just think for COVID-19, we actually need to be telling the truth all the time. I know there's a desperation out there to keep schools open, and I agree with it. You know, we need to keep schools open. I actually have, you know, I mean, I think we need to keep schools open in some way, not the way it is, but we need to keep schools open, definitely. But by openly lying about the number of COVID-19 cases relating to schools, to me, is a really dangerous game. And what it does, it potentially undermines everything NFET say. If you're openly lying about the number of cases, that actually happen in schools, people are going to stop believing everything else that you say. And this plays into the hands of dangerous people. Do you know the anti-maskers, all these people who are claiming COVID-19 doesn't exist? Look, they're lying about this, so why would you believe anything they say? And speaking of which, about spinning and lying, let's move to our other friends, the INTO, who some of you might remember are a teachers' union. What they decided to do on October 28th was to claim a major victory. Now, reading the statement, it's very, very hard to understand exactly what they were claiming as a major victory. What they claimed was they had put pressure on the HSE to have a dedicated team for schools, and this was the victory. Now, there were no figures, there were no definites, and to be perfectly honest, the reaction to it, unsurprisingly, was not good. It was just really weak. And in fact, it was too weak for me to even bother reading it for you, really. It was just weird. And the timing of this statement was really interesting to me. I think the most interesting part of it was the timing, because it came the following day after the force's success with the secretaries. And they actually, if you read it, like, go and read it. They even actually used the word pathway in the statement. I mean, seriously, I mean, that couldn't have anything to do with it, could it? I don't know. Let's just get back to our story. Thursday, the 29th of October, we're on Thursday, and our principal friend still hasn't had a day off. And would you believe it? He was informed by another parent that a third pupil was confirmed with a positive case of COVID-19. And this case, like pupil one and pupil two, was also asymptomatic. Look, this story was just getting worse and worse. I mean, nothing else could go wrong, could it? Cue the following. Here's a tweet. I'm reading it out. Urgent! Additional PPE products recalled. Warning sign emoji. We have been notified by the Department of Education that following review of PPE product framework, the department is advising schools discontinue the use of certain products, followed by dozens of products. Well, it was a nice midterm break while some of us had it. Yes, it was another cock-up about hand sanitizer and other products. And at this time, it was dozens of products that had to be recalled. It affected over 30% of schools. And I think there's two things worth noting about this. First, there wasn't one principal in the country that said, screw this, this isn't my problem, I'm actually on annual leave. They simply apologized to their own families, and in they went to their schools, the religious ones probably praying, the non-religious ones probably hoping that their schools weren't affected. But for 30% of principals, it was the end of their midterm break. Will they get compensated for their additional time? I don't think they even got thanked. Funnily enough, just as an aside, I have a friend that works in a totally different industry and in a high enough position. So, I mean, not quite, probably around, you know, I suppose the equivalent of a principal manager. And the odd time when he's off on annual leave, and he actually gets more holidays than people seem to say. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just the only time I talk to him is when he's on holidays. But anyway, he's called in to deal with something very serious. Maybe there's a robbery or something like that, you know. But what happens when he has to go in on his days off to deal with a robbery, if he has to go into court or whatever, he gets paid for this extra time. And he was really surprised when I asked him, about this particular thing, as if it was the most normal thing in the world that you would get paid for working during your holiday time. Anyway, the second thing worth mentioning about this hand sanitizer with debacle was only the day before, every Fianna Fáil politician was on Twitter congratulating Norma Foley for the secretary pay's breakthrough, even though she had nothing to do with it. But they were very, very quiet about this second episode on hand sanitizer, which in fairness she had nothing to do with either. Anyway, back again to our principal, who was back on the phone on the Friday, the poor man, on a call from a doctor at the HSE regarding pupil 3. And the doctor from the HSE concluded that as pupil 3 had not had any other contacts since leaving school on Friday, the 23rd of October, that there was indeed a risk in relation to the classroom. The third pupil. That it took till then. The principal then sent in contact details, as you do, you get a spreadsheet, so the HSE could contact the entire classroom for COVID-19 testing. The school published the HSE letter from the doctor to the local community, and it basically said, to date, 4 cases have been notified to the Department of Public Health, HSE. Based on this, a public health risk assessment has been undertaken and your child will be referred for a COVID-19 test. You should receive an appointment for a test in the next few days. You are advised that your child should not return to school until, and I won't say the date because it might identify the school, but basically it was 14 days since the last contact with the case during their infectious period. Now, the results of their COVID-19 test will also be available by that date. So if the child is well, his or her siblings and other household members do not need to restrict their movements. Anyway, it goes on. And that is where this story ends. Or so you would think. It took 3 cases and the principal's entire midterm break for the HSE to finally admit that a case in the classroom had spread in the classroom. And at this time of the recording, I have to presume that these tests have been completed. Meanwhile, RTE were reporting that schools were not hotspots for COVID-19 after all. And I'm sure this principal was looking at that article and was relieved to hear that. But there was more. Let's move to Halloween. Saturday, the 31st of October, while the media was reporting that, the media were reporting that day that inspectors are now being redeployed to the HSE to help with contact tracing. And by the way, I'm a bit torn about this, whether this is a good thing or not. I mean, this is just an aside here. And I guess they have to make inspectors useful. I mean, I felt what they were doing there, where they were trying to get them to inspect us for health and safety despite having absolutely no qualifications in health and safety, was just the most bizarre use of their time. I mean, if they're not going to be subbing in schools, we may as well, you know, hope they'll try and keep us safe or something by helping out the HSE and their investigations. I have no idea how they'll do that. Anyway, however, for our principal friend, he had another call, and this time it was from Teacher 2. If you remember, Teacher 2 was in the classroom and they'd spent a substantial amount of time in that infectious classroom. That teacher had tested positive. Well, the new improved HSE responded because, you know, they had admitted, yes, this must have been in the school. Remember, case number 3 of the pupil, we have to get the class tested. Well, the new improved HSE responded with, well, as the exposure was on the 21st of October, then the teacher would have been within the incubation period by the time the school broke up on the 23rd, so he would not be considered infectious. So on these grounds, for the moment, we don't believe that testing or exclusion should be further extended beyond the classroom. Amazing. This was a support teacher that would have been going into other classrooms. We'd already proven that the outbreak had happened in this classroom. It was not a community case. And this could have been the index case, for all we know. The principal also received a phone call from the Department of Education at 8:30 that evening. And the key point of their phone call was to make sure that this principal was not going to close his school down on Monday, basically. Now, I'm sure you probably think this poor principal must have got one day off on the 1st of November, the Sunday, the day before back to school. Well, I'm afraid he didn't. That day, he received official confirmation from the HSE that yet another pupil, pupil 4, had tested positive for COVID-19. However, the HSE letter states again that because the pupil had not attended school while she was infectious, there was no need for further public health risk assessment of the school setting. Well, at least they were back to normal. I think they must have blipped when it came to the admission of the 3rd case. Amazing stuff. And as it stood on Sunday, the day before the new term was to begin, 2 staff members and 4 pupils had tested positive for COVID-19, all from the same classroom. And there could have been more, really, and there probably was more, but these were the ones that the principal was made aware of. On Monday, when we were back to school, the Department of Education wrote to all school principals with a secret phone number, which I cannot tell you, should we have been made aware of a case in our school. This phone line is actually open from 8 o'clock till 4:30 each day and less at the weekend. And of course, the INTO welcomed this new magic phone number. Now, the principal in my story, as I said there, is real. He sent me his own thoughts on the whole saga, and I hope I've done his story a bit of justice. He genuinely feels that the HSE's initial advice may have led to further spread in his school and hence the community. He says, thankfully, the school and the class bubble infection have been off for the midterm break for 1 week. Thankfully, the HSE eventually agreed to the likely spread of COVID-19 within the classroom and is testing all the pupils. People might wonder about the four pupils and where they were sitting, for example. He said pods in the classroom for this outbreak had absolutely no bearing on it. All of the positive cases were scattered around the room with more than 1 meter distance between each pupil. And some of the positive cases were even more than 4 meters from the teacher's desk. With all of the talk of well-being from the various representative bodies, this principal noted that the entire episode has placed major stress and worry on all members of his school community, and the entire episode has placed considerable stress for himself. And with many knock-on effects, mainly being unable to rest and spend time with his family at home over the midterm break, with constant emails, phone calls and text messages. So I guess, what would this principal recommend given his experience? Well, his recommendation is, if there is a positive case in a classroom, the entire classroom should be sent for COVID-19 tests as soon as someone tests positive. This didn't happen due to the contact tracing of the 24 and 48 hour guidelines. He made many, many more points about this, about the effects of having a case in a school. But his final point really, and I think this is probably the most important, was to date that nobody has been extremely sick that had a positive case, which is obviously a good thing. There's really little point in me saying anything more about this principal's midterm break. Nothing I can say or nothing I can do was going to give him his time back, which he needed, and we all needed, and some of us got a little bit of it. The hand sanitizer debacles derailed almost every principal's break, even if it was only for a short time. But for others, it wiped out almost half of their leave. And yet, here we are, all back this week, and really very little has changed. There's still no extra protection for school staff in terms of proper PPE. There's still no extra fast tracking for schools, though I believe this might be changing eventually. But most importantly, there doesn't seem to be a change in identifying close contacts, which is deeply worrying. I honestly didn't believe schools would remain open this long, as you know, if you were listening to this podcast, but I will be the first to admit that I am very happy that I am wrong about this. Many schools I know sent home all their pupils' school books and materials for the midterm break, half expecting for us not to return. Such was the little faith they had in the government and the HSE and NPHET. However, there really still is very little faith from schools in the whole COVID-19 contact tracing programme. Teachers around the country are going into their workplaces where their safety is clearly not a priority. And while cases appear to be coming down this week in Ireland at the moment, all we can really do now is hope for the best. As I've said, the fingers crossed emoji remains, and clearly remains, the symbol for schools staying open. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and be sure to tune in every Friday at 5:59 p.m, the traditional time where Department of Education's released their circulars, though if midterm break had anything to do with it, 10:30 on a Thursday night is another time where they like putting their episodes, but I'll stick with 5:59 on a Friday. This is a special episode. I usually do special episodes whenever I get the chance, usually midweek, and I will be back with the normal episode on Friday evening. Which I hope you'll listen to. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can find it on any of your favorite podcasting apps, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Castbox, or any of the other podcasting apps. Just search for onshaw.net, or If I Were the Minister for Education, or even Onshaw's podcast will get you there. I'd really, really appreciate you subscribing to this podcast, so each new episode will be available to you a bit earlier than 5:59 on a Friday. If you like the podcast, I'd also appreciate you reviewing the podcast and giving it a 5-star rating, so other teachers and other people who might be interested in primary education may be able to find it more easily. Look, that is it from me for this special episode. It was a real eye-opener for me. I felt very sad for this particular principal, and I really appreciate the fact that he shared his story with me. I hope I've done justice. I hope some of you did get some form of a break over midterm. I hope the first week back has been uneventful for you. And I just wish you well for the second half of this term. And let's see how it all pans out. Thanks a million for listening, and we'll see you again.